Good morning.
Morning.
I love those songs. I love the Bible. I love the scriptures. I can go over it over and over again. And I'm get blessed. Go to John chapter 12, the Gospel of John chapter 12. And I'm going to start at verse 10 reading. About through verse 19 maybe. If you wanted to just follow along. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is gone after him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for so many blessings. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for these great hymns your poets and lovers have written and how they lift our spirits. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless those that are down today, those that are lost. May you make it clear to them, and may they come to know you as Savior and Lord. And Lord, get the blessings that comes from knowing you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for this book. Thank you for these hymns. Thank you for these people. Bless us with thy word.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good to see you. I enjoy those songs. I can't sing them anymore, but I can sure listen to them. And they really bless me. I have a tape in my car that I just let it run all the time. And it's just instrumental music of hymns. You know, I don't need the words. I know what the words are. And it's just a real blessing to me. And the Sirius, this radio thing that came with my new car, I didn't want it because I didn't think I'd need it. And I don't think I do. So I enjoy my hymns and I enjoy them. That just blesses my heart. You realize I've been doing that 65 years or better? I love those old hymns. Those three hymns this morning, man, I tell you what, that is a blessing. Well, I've got something in the Bible that's a blessing to me too. It's called John chapter 12. You can follow along with me if you will. I want to start. We actually covered this a little bit, verses 10 and 11 last week. But I want to go back to that just as I start the thing today. The chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, I sometimes think life is real cheap today, just as things like down in Uvalde and other places. It's going on all over, but it's going on all over the world. And you think about Ahab killing Naboth and to get his vineyard. I mean, the king, rich, got everything in the world going his way, and this little piece of land that couldn't bear very, very much. Why, life was cheap. Well, life's pretty cheap today, too. And all around the world, there's people that are bombing people and shooting up guns and driving cars into the crowds, and it's pitiful. It really is a bother to me. To think about the situation and the families that are affected by it. Well, here are two or not just two, several very religious people. These are leaders of the Jewish religion. They controlled things that went on at the temple. They controlled how they interpreted the law of God. And here's what it says. The chief priests, now that's the big boys, consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Why? Why? Because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Lazarus became a real important personality. Overnight, he's like one of the movie stars or one of the singing stars, these groups that they have. Because here's a man that there's numbers of people that know he died. He was buried in the grave 4 days. And when Jesus came back, he said, roll away the stone. They rolled the stone away and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he walked out stumbling in his grave clothes. Wow, that is a miracle, isn't it? Well, if you wanted a reason to believe that Jesus was truly the Son of God or God walking in the flesh, that ought to be it. Man, that's good enough. Death has not conquered him. He's conquered death. And here it is. Here's chief priests. They want to kill Jesus and they want to kill Lazarus. Now that shows a sorry character of these religious men. Now they're not, their religion, no doubt about it. They were religious. They knew the law. They taught it all the time, so they had to have known it. And yet here they are. They want to kill this man simply because he causes people to believe on Jesus. Now, some people tell stories that I just don't follow. And I wonder how many people are scammed. I get so many phone calls to my landline. They want to forgive my college debts. I'm 85. And they promise me they'll forgive my college debts. Other people say, call me up and say, do you want to sell your house? No, I'd have a sign out there if I wanted to sell my house. I don't have a sign out there. They'll send me a picture of my house. Y'all are getting into this? Yes. It comes to your house too? Yes. I get maybe 30 of these a day. It's too many. And that's my old line, the one that's been published for a long time. And so I had a fellow call me that was, oh goodness, goes back 40 years. And he called me on that line, and we talked for a while, about 30 minutes, I think. And I enjoyed talking to him. He evidently enjoyed talking to me. And I don't want to cut the line down altogether. And yet, it is a real pain. And so somebody out there is suffering just like me. I don't like to hear that phone ring that much. So anyway, put him to death. He's causing a stir among the people. Put him to death? Well, I don't know that a lot of the killers that are doing things today, I just think they're crazy. I think they're full of the devil and blind to the harm they're causing mothers and dads and brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. Wow. Absolute terrible things. Well, they wanted to put Lazarus to death. Why? Because of verse 11. By reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Hey, that's a testimony you can believe. Some of these things you can't prove and you can't believe, but you could believe Lazarus. And it's amazing to me that we can be so religious and maybe even very religious and have this idea that I can kill somebody and it's all right. I think it's crazy. But at any rate, look at verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, for it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's coat. This is looks like a spontaneous gathering. And he sort of rose in power as he went. He's coming in, supposedly as the king of Israel, and a lot of the people think he's going to take the Jerusalem and let it control the world, as he's going to do in the second coming. But I don't like crowds, especially spontaneous ones. Have you seen some of the crowds in something? Some guy gets killed, so in another state somewhere, and somebody here makes a big deal about it, and they print signs, and they have agitators coming in from other states to go through a lot of stuff like that. I think you're just about crazy if you go down there to one of those. Yeah, that's my personal opinion. I don't want to go down there because I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They break store windows and haul stuff off. They set fire. I was a missionary in Guatemala, Central America for 3 years. And we had very much communist influence. There were a lot of communists in Guatemala. There were even areas of Guatemala where they would not let me even drive my car. It'd turn you around on the road. You can't go out there. It's absolutely too dangerous. The poor people would get in a mob and they would burn the buses. Now, they didn't own cars. There wasn't a rail system. They're burning their own transportation in a mob type thing. There were people killed in the newspapers when I was first there. 19 shot down in this place out somewhere, and they'd describe the place, even have pictures. They finally got to where there were so many people being killed, they didn't put it in the papers anymore. The government decided, you can't tell everybody this. Isn't that something? That was bad. And you look at a life like that, and you think, man, life is so cheap. And what will a mob do if you turn it loose? Or what they could overrun the police, or whatever they were. Amazing thing. And I don't think mobs are very good, but this one looks like it's different. Much people had come to the feast. They heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, praise the Lord. How about that? We're going to have a spontaneous entrance of Jesus into his capital city, Jerusalem. Well, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Wow. Palm trees, cried Hosanna. He's riding in on a donkey's colt. I would think, talk about humility, and Jesus is so full of humility throughout the Gospels that we see. He just, he's not really pushing himself forward as he could. If I were going to be the king and I were going to ride entrance into my capital city, I'd have a great big horse. Wouldn't you? I'd have one of those big old giant studs there, you know, with his head turned down a little bit, restrained, and saddled with silver and gold on it, and a big sword hanging on my hip. He comes in on a donkey colt. Now these people are watching this, and somehow it didn't register that well, I guess. They thought this was Jesus when he was going to take over the kingdom and going to reign from Jerusalem and remove all of Rome from them. And that wasn't in Jesus' plan at all, as you see in this very chapter. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, they got some praise there. But again, sometimes, like with a mob, I don't trust mobs. They can just turn around and do a different thing all of a sudden. And you're right in the middle of them. Don't go down there. I'm just trying to tell you for just the experience of an old man. Don't go down if there's going to be a mob. Forget it. You can buy it next week for probably the same price. You don't have to go to sleep out on the sidewalk and wait there 3 days to get the newest phone. Or one of Elvis Presley's records. See, I go back a long ways. He and I are about the same age. Yeah, you know, it really is a mess. I don't trust the mobs, and I don't trust the mobs even in San Antonio or Washington. Why, we're seeing Americans beating each other up, damaging each other, and whatever, just for some political thing, trying to overthrow the democracy as it is. It's a shame. But it happened in our country, and that should make some people think around the world. Many Jews believed on Jesus because of Lazarus. I think that's a wonderful thing. Does anybody believe on Jesus because you believed on Jesus? Do you know of anyone? Anybody? Well, you ought to be a witness enough that somebody ought to be pointed towards Jesus. Amen. By your life and by what comes out of your mouth. If all it is cussing coming out of your mouth and smart aleck talk and whatever, you're not a very good testimony. Amen. Somebody ought to see your life and say, I want what you have.
Yes.
Praise God, there are people. I'm here as a testimony that it can happen. It can happen. People can see you, meet you, know you, listen to you, and say, I want what you have. Praise God. I tell you what, I got my life changed. Now, I was a church member a long time before I got saved. But I got saved at 20 years old, and I am so thankful I did. And it changed my life. And for the first years of my being saved, I was leading people to the Lord that were older than me, smarter than me. But the assistant pastor of the church that I went to, and by the way, it was a great big Southern Baptist church, it had 500 in attendance in Sunday school every Sunday morning. And assistant pastor was Mr. Smooth. You know me, I'm just an old country boy with a smart aleck mouth. But this guy was Mr. Smooth. He could get in any door. And he would say, Lendl, come on, you're going to go with me. And we'd go to the door, and he would talk, do all the talking, get us inside, and he'd say, tell him your story, Lendl. And I'd start telling the story, and they'd start crying. I'd be crying, they'd be crying. And people got saved right and left, and got baptized and followed the Lord. And then I got opportunities to preach all over. And one of my greatest blessings is to be an evangelist. And as a pastor, have been more of an evangelist, I guess, than I've been a pastor in a lot of ways. Because I just can't get through telling the story of Jesus. I just can't get through bragging on what he's done for me and rejoicing in it. I'm an old man, but I'm a happy old man. I've been blessed.
Yes.
Man, I'm telling you, I thank the Lord. I'm in a thankful mood most of the time. I thank the Lord for where I was born, the people that I was born to. I thank the Lord that I joined the Air Force, which I thought was a mistake in some ways. But at any rate, that he moved out to Roswell, New Mexico, and I landed right in the midst of a bunch of Christians. And they weren't Christians like I'd been a Christian. These guys meant business. And when I got saved, wow, I was ready for heaven to start right then. I was just 20. But praise God, quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling one day. Try that. It's difficult. It's difficult. Those cuss words can still come up in my head. They just don't come out of my mouth like they used to come out of my mouth. And if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be talking like that. You ought to have a clean mouth and some clean attitudes.
Yes, sir.
They ought to be able to see that something has been changed in you that they might want in their life.
Amen.
And that's what God did to me. He changed me. And wow, some of the things that I went through, tremendous. Some of these Jews went away and believed on Jesus because of Lazarus. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Look at verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he'd found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they those things that were written of him, and they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him. Wow. Okay. He rides into Jerusalem. He's got a little glory there about this crowd that's coming. And the people later on remembered of the things that were said. Does that ever happen to you? If you read your Bible and read it on a regular basis, daily, and go through it, the Bible, once or twice or three or four or five times a year, if you read the same amount of chapters out of the old that you read out of the new, then you'll read the old one time when you read four times the new. And I think that's a pretty good way to do it. Read about the same a lot, and you'll get plenty of the New Testament gospel, and it'll fit with the rest of the scripture. Now, the people that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave, raised from the dead, bear record. They had a good story. You ever had a good story? You ever had a good joke? You have a joke that you think, well, but it's better than anybody else is telling. They had a story. I was there. Can you tell somebody, I was there? You ever been to something that maybe they didn't go and you say, I was there? Well, that's what they could say about Lazarus. How about if you had been at the party when Jesus was coming to the town or at the graveside and you saw them roll the stone away? You saw Jesus be very specific. I've always thought that if Jesus had not said Lazarus, the whole graveyard would come out. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And here's Lazarus stumbling along, wrapped up in grave clothes. And they say, him, take the clothes off of him. Take these grave clothes off of him. And there he is talking to them. He eats with them. He lives to die another day. How about that? And you were there. I'd brag on that.
Yes.
I've told you a few things about Guatemala and my past life and my first year in Christianity. I was there. I was there when it happened. Wow, that's something else. Here he is. Here are the people that went to the grave when Jesus went to the grave and raised him from the dead. They bear record, it says. Well, you know, that's what we got in the Bible. You got to keep remembering this. This is eyewitness testimony. I want to know what they say. I don't worry about what you think they mean. I don't give what you think they mean very much credit. I want to know what they say. And that's the way I'm about the Bible. The way I believe the Bible, I just take it that it's true.
Amen.
You want to know where my authority is? Right here.
Amen.
That's just my authority. And it's mine. I know it. I'm familiar with it. You printed all over it and all sorts of stuff. I wear them out just ever so often. But then I go down and get me a new one. I used to buy cheap Bibles. I don't buy cheap Bibles anymore because they wear out too quickly. But at any rate, you get you a good Bible, something that feels good in your hand, something that has the right kind of print for you with your eyesight, whatever you have, and read it every day.
Amen.
Memorize some. We got Melvin coming around here trying to get us to memorize some things. That's a good thing to do.
Amen.
Memorize some things. I was preaching here in this pulpit on a Sunday morning one time, and I get down to about, well, maybe two-thirds of the message. And all of a sudden, I had something happen in my eyes. You probably never had this. I've only had it one time. You remember the kaleidoscope that we have, a little thing that you twist it and all sorts of different angles and colors come up? Well, that's what happened to my Bible. I had a great big Bible with a big print, and I was preaching with this pulpit right here. And so help me that scriptures and you were like a kaleidoscope. I said, what am I going to do? I said, quote my way out. That's what I did. I was able to remember the verses and I quoted my way out, and I don't think anybody noticed but me. They might have noticed me hesitating or something like that. But I went to my ophthalmologist. And I said, what happened to me? He said, you had a migraine of the eye. I don't know if you ever heard of that before. First time I heard of it. But you know what? I've been using those verses for years. It's like your address. You know why you know your address? You've been repeating it time and time and time again. You know why you got your telephone number? Probably got two or three telephone numbers in your head. Because you repeat them all the time. Repetition is a wonderful thing. And it's a very good way to memorize. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave, raised him from the dead, they bear record. That's what you need to do with your own testimony. Some people are going to see you, and you need to tell them why you are the way you are.
Amen.
Now look at the verse 19. Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Well, that's an exaggeration. That's somebody's opinion. If you'd have been around when Elvis was young and starting out, why, you would think the world is going after him. Now, personally, I never was a real fan of music anyway. And Elvis didn't thrill me. I think he had a good voice. But I sort of hated listening to hymns from him because he had such a messed up life. And you know, the world has gone after him. Whoever made this statement is a basic, real exaggeration. Because Jesus didn't go all over the world preaching. I watched some of this Christianity and Billy Graham's meetings and whole things like that. And it's going around the world. But maybe not the whole world, because the whole world doesn't have computers. But it's going a long ways, and a lot of people are being reached because of these modern things. Now, I don't handle the modern things that well. My grandchildren, my great-grandchildren can handle them better than me. But I like to use them, and I use them where I can. It's like I got my Bible verses printed out in a much bigger text up here. But I'm not reading out of my Bible. I'm reading out of what I copied out of my Bible and put on my notes. And I've got it there. And that's a handy thing for me. Get to be an old man. You go blind, you go deaf, you go dumb. Didn't get any amens on that. Behold how the world has gone after him. These Jews are really jealous of the popularity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is also telling the people some things that they didn't tell them. And he's being suppressed by them. People that would follow him, they want to kick him out of the synagogue, and they had the power to do so that because they were the leaders. And it was nothing but jealousy and the fear that they might lose their position that they had. Wow. The world has gone after him? No, he never preached in the whole world. Now, the world is hearing a lot more of it right today. But in that day, Jesus preached right there to the Jews. And he preached in several towns. And he made the statement that if these Old Testament towns that God destroyed had had the miracles that he done in them, they'd have repented. Boy, that is a condemnation. Oh, the world has gone after him. Now in verse 20, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. You might not think, what are they doing? Well, Jews are supposed to make a trip to the temple. They were supposed to make a trip to sacrifice, maybe even at this Passover that they are. And these are people that were in Greece. They were Jews, maybe born in Greece, like we have a lot of Jews in San Antonio. They've got some big synagogues here in San Antonio. And they're Jews and they're here, but they're not anywhere near Jerusalem. And if they're poor people, then they don't have a way to get there. They're going to take a lot of money. And then I would hate to get around there with all this COVID stuff like this. They stopped people, kept those people on that boat for 45 days. Good night. You're liable to get away someplace and never not get back. And if you're not a rich man, you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? Certain Greeks among them came to worship at the feast. These came to, therefore to Philip, which was Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now, Jesus is a popular person, and people want to see him, just as Herod
Pilate.
Yes, thank you. Wanted to see a miracle from him. And just the way it goes. He was a very popular man. Now he says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." If you want to keep your seed, you can. But it doesn't multiply by you keeping your seed. What do you have to do with seed? Well, you take that corn cob, whatever it is, or wheat or whatever, and you take each individual seed, and you might put, I used to put 3 seeds in each little hole I put in my garden. I'd put 3 seeds in there. Well, there's about 1,100 seeds on a good ear of corn, but you can't save it, or you won't have any increase. So you have to give it so that that seed dies. It does not, it loses its existence. And it moves into a stalk. They got some, Billy was showing me some the other day. Corn, no more taller than that. I'd never seen that corn that I knew that it was corn. Because most of the corn I ever had was about like that. But when you get that corn stalk, what do you get? You get about 3 ears of corn that have about 1,100 seeds each. If you want to increase, then you have to die. And that's exactly what he's talking about. Lest it fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now what's he trying to teach? He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it in a life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. But if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Jesus is troubled. He was a man. He was going to go through a horrible death. He was going to be rejected by those that loved him. His father was not going to deliver him from this. He talked to the father about it. And the father said, no, this is what you need to do. So to please the father, he had to give up his life. But if he hadn't given up his life, where would you be? Where would you be? How would you please God? How would you get eternal life? Well, it's impossible. Amen. The gospel is the most beautiful story the world has ever seen.
Amen.
And Jesus is the greatest person ever born.
Amen.
And seeing that and knowing that, there's no comparison in any other religion, any kind of religion. I've studied an awful lot of religions. None of them compare. None of them compare. Christ obeyed the Father in Him. And the Bible said, in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And He dies upon the cross of Calvary so that you can be forgiven.
Amen.
Not a person in this room could live good enough that God would have to take you to heaven. You're just so good. You might think you are, but will you see Jesus in all of His glory? Wow. What a great salvation. The corn of wheat had to fall into the ground and die. Well, that's common experience with farmers or people that have gardens. Well, Jesus had to die. And praise God, He did die. And He's going to bring forth much fruit. The most printed and sold book in the entire world and in all history is the Bible. Do you know that? You might ought to read it. You might ought to give it some attention. You might ought to memorize some verses that you like real good. Hey, get you a red pencil and mark it. Memorize it so you've got it in your head. It'll bless you. It'll come up at the most funny time. All of a sudden there's a verse. One you memorized a long time ago. You learned it, but it hadn't even been across your mind for a while. Wow. It's a good book.
Yeah, it is.
It's got a lot of hope. My hope's in this book. I don't have any hope in religion. I don't have any hope in churches. I don't have any hope in governments. I don't have any hope in anything but the promises of this book. The Bible. If you got one, read it. God bless you.